Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Mike McAllister about children seeing spirits. So tell me about the experiences that then you had in that house. What sort of things? How were you investigating? What sort of, like I said, what sort of experiences did you have in there, like specifically? Some of the ones that stood out to you that really, you know, made you go, yeah, this stuff is real.
The door, well, the hat, I've already told you, was one of the first ones, but then the door... We're setting towards the door to the basement, and some odd reason, somebody thought they saw it shut. While we were in there, I didn't see it, so I walk over, and I'm still kind of, you know, debunker mode, you know, which I still am, but I was extremely into it. So I'm standing there, and it doesn't move, and I'm like, see, I told you it couldn't shut, and the door shuts. And that was the moment everyone kind of looked at me, and they're like, maybe you shouldn't challenge it again. I was like, maybe so.
Sure.
So then we go, somebody forgot a piece of equipment, and I can't remember who it was, but one of the members had to go back and get another piece of equipment that we had forgot. So I said, hey, let's just sit down and watch the house move. Just watch it. It's still a technique I like to do sometimes, to just sit in there, maybe turn on a voice recorder, don't ask no questions, and just sit in there and let the house settle and get a feel for it. So we're settling in, and I go, there's a lady walk through. And everybody goes, yep. And I was like, there looks like a younger lady walk through. Yep. There's two guys. We just watch shadows of people walking through the house as we're sitting there.
So you're sitting there and you're seeing these shadows like physically move along the walls? Or are you seeing shadows? Are they more like three-dimensional, like, you know, like dark clouds that kind of go...
I would say somewhere in between. They look like they were on the wall, but they did have a texture enough that we could tell what they were. And we're just watching them. Like every so often, then they'd look at us and then they'd walk back out. And part of me wondered if that was in like a residual manner. Like maybe they did this same thing all the time, because they didn't seem to be reacting. Some of them reacted to us and some of them didn't.
What were some of the things that you did to get a reaction out of them?
This is the craziest one. We're walking through the place, and the investigator behind me is, we're walking into a room. Everyone clears except him. He's right behind me. And as he goes to step in the room, none of us hear this, but he hears a lady scream at the top of her lungs to the point he jumps and falls backwards. And he's looking at us going, did you not hear her scream? and only he could hear it. We had objects that just, at the time, like I said, we just got K2 meters. We'd have them spike. We'd have them move. We had crazy amount of results, but probably the one that was craziest to me was the EVPs. Like when we get there, I said, would you like to come down and talk with us? And as soon as I cut out, you hear a male voice kind of really raspy come in and say, I'd like to have a reason.
I'd like to have a reason.
And at one point we get ready to shut off the voice recorder and change rooms. And it says, keep playing. It's there's so many EVPs of it. And then we had a little, my wife comes in and says, we for some odd reason, I don't recall what, but we had a feeling there was a child spirit there. And my wife said, if you'd like to come, you know, if you're scared, you can come over with me. I got little kids of my own. You know, I'm here to watch out for you. And you hear a little child, little young girl say, won't you be my friend? Mm-hmm. And actually said it twice to us, to my wife as she was talking.
And these are all things you're hearing when you're reviewing the audio? You're not hearing this in real time?
Yeah, no, but these are all we'd find out later.
Okay, yeah.
You know, at the time we didn't realize how impressive that was, but I think we left the investigation with 30 plus Class A EVPs.
Wow.
And then we had a bunch that we couldn't make out, probably 50 that were just there. You could kind of tell what they were saying, but you didn't quite know. We had one where one of our investigators went to kind of not necessarily provoke, but like I was with the door, he said, I bet you can't do something. And it said, all right, mister, it's clear as day. Wow. And just that was one of the craziest things, because when we left there, we're like, oh, we've seen a bunch of shadows move. We had tons of stuff, like definitely some haunted stuff, but we didn't quite realize what all was going on, because we get back and I got my, you know, the person reviewing the audio recorder calling me going, you got to hear all of these. And I'm like, where are they at? And, you know, we'll look them up. They said, just listen to the whole thing.
What do you make of a location like that where there seems to be so many different pieces of activity going on, so many spirits, if you will, that are lingering there? Do you think, and this is just an opinion question, do you think that this is a location where these people spent time, had part of their life there? Or is it more so it's kind of a hot spot? It's like bees to honey, you know, where it's just attracting all different energies, all different spirits that are kind of passing through. And this is, you know, like a safe space for them, if you will.
You know, At the time, I never put much thought into that when I was there, but I've thought, you know, since then, and I would think it would almost be more of the hot spot, because we couldn't find, you would think with that much activity, you would have some historical stories, something that we could look up, something tangible that we could grab a hold of with that much activity, you would imagine there's got to be a big amount of story and history.
Yeah.
But there really wasn't. So I'm thinking maybe, you know, hypothetically just throwing something out, maybe somebody opened something up without realizing it. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody created a gateway for something to come in or something. Maybe somebody invited them in.
Sure.
I don't have a good answer for that. That's pure speculation, but the amount of people, I mean, we're talking, we had two ladies, three guys and a child that I know we talked to in there. So that's an awful lot to not have any historical things and not be something of that nature.
Do you think, or did you even have any evidence of them being able to interact with each other on their other side? Do you think they're aware that there's others there that are haunting simultaneously?
Oh, I've seen it not there, but I've seen it in other places where I've seen them interact. I had one that specific one I was just talking about, the upcoming, you know, episode we have,
yeah,
where they literally are arguing with each other. One of them comes in and starts arguing with the other one about what they're telling us.
And this is from EVPs or from the spirit box that you're picking up?
This is a mixture of EVPs and some spirit box and some Estes method. And multiple people like would go and sit down and I'd say, don't tell us your experience at the end so the next person can put it on. And they're all telling me, they're like, they're fighting with each other.
How interesting.
So in some cases, I think they are aware of each other. In some cases, they may just not care that the other person's there, or maybe they're just oblivious. I think in this field, I almost feel like there is no one size fits all. I think every haunting, if you will, to kind of, I don't know how I feel about that word sometimes because it has such a negative thing attached to it.
Yeah.
But I think every case that has activity is kind of almost unique. There might be similarities, but there's uniqueness to everyone. That's why there's that itch to always do the next one, because you've had most of the, if you've been in the paranormal for a little while, I think you've answered a lot of your questions. But then there's that itch of, is the next one going to have a crazy different answer?
Well, that's the thing. You end up with far more questions than answers. Just when I started the show almost 10 years ago, it was, maybe we'll kind of get some direction. Like, no, I'm far more confused than ever before. But I have more knowledge, I guess, that I can then share with others in terms of a relatable experience. You're like, I've heard of this before, and here's what happened in this case or that case. It doesn't mean I have an answer as to what anything is or why it's happening. But it's like, yeah, sometimes these things line up like this, and it's kind of bizarre how that happens. I've always wondered, when you have spirits that seem to be interacting with each other, are they, are they from the same family? Are they from the same time or place? And that seemed to kind of match up a little bit for a while. And then I had interviewed someone where they were investigating some location, and it seemed there was like four different spirits. Some were like taking on the role of being parental to some of the children spirits, but none of them were from the same time and place. They had all been at the same place at different points in time in their lives, but they were not of the same era. But now that they're all on the other side, they almost seem to be interacting as like a family unit, and the parents looking out for the little ones that seem to endlessly be being children. So it doesn't always, line up with, oh, they're related, or it's family that's together. But then in some cases you have the other thing too, where it's like they don't seem to even be cognizant that there's other people here, and they seem very lonely, but the place is crazy active. So you're exactly right. There is no one size fits all. And when you think you have some direction on this, you don't.
Yeah, it opens up. So you're like, okay, are ghosts are real? Then it opens up the question, is there multiple like dimension things that each of these are sitting on? That's why they can't see each other. Or why are they here? Or end up with the fifth. You started out with just, are spirits real? And, how are they trying to interact with you? And you leave with so many more questions, where one case, it's like, okay, I got my answer to that. And then you go to the next case, and now we got 10 new questions.
Exactly.
And we question the answer we got at the first one.
Yeah. When you think you have something or an answer, it just leads to more. So what made you eventually kind of step away from the field of paranormal investigation for about 11 years?
It was a mixture of things. This field can be amazing, but it can also be filled with people who don't necessarily have your best interest in mind. Mm-hmm. And I dealt with a lot of that. I dealt with some things as far as the way it was affecting me at home, the way it was negatively affecting me dealing with all these cases and then coming back home. And aside from all that, we got a small tidbit of time on TV, and I didn't necessarily, I don't think I was ready to deal with the reactions of the way people will talk about you when you go on a bigger stage. Mm-hmm. So it was like a snowball effect of many things was the reason why we ended up deciding to, step away. And at that point, all the crew had pretty much mutually agreed to leave except two of us. Mm-hmm. And we were down to the final two, and I looked at my buddy Cody, who's our cameraman now for our team, and said, I just can't do it no more.
Yeah. And then your kids, you said they started expressing interest as they got older. Were you hesitant to dig back into the world of all of this, or were you like, cool, let's do it with the kids, this will be fun?
It was very hesitant. My wife was involved, obviously, with the first team, and now is, you know, is a member of you know, is now, you know, with our team, a big part of it. There's four of us now. And my wife was hesitant. I was hesitant. I think I was maybe a little bit more ready to go than she was. But over time and seeing things now, she's probably on the same level, if not more than me, as far as excited to get to go to these things and excited to get these answers. And mm-hmm. we were very still. We had like a cutoff, like if it gets bad, we're not going to keep riding. We're going to go. If things get to a certain point, like we kind of made a, if things turn like this, we have to get out.
What were some of those? You know,
we're not going to allow our lives to fall apart personally,
sure,
or professionally in order to continue this. So that's where we drew the line. We said, as long as we can continue things as we are now, you know, when I left the paranormal, we were struggling to make ends meet. We're doing pretty fair for ourselves. I had to find my own success, you know, 11 years away from the paranormal. And I swear I stepped out mm-hmm. and found my life path within like 6 months.
Wow. What you had mentioned earlier that one of the things you're teaching the younger ones who are getting into this and others who are involved of, you know, there's repercussions for the way that things can be handled. What are some of those things that you've learned that you're trying to pass along and kind of warn people from your own experiences so they don't necessarily have to experience some of those repercussions for themselves?
Oh, with the whole, but my thing covers the whole field. Number one, I think this is a give me. I think all of us say it, but maybe there's a few that don't agree with me, but no Ouija boards. Just start right there. Just and understand that also any form of communication is opening up yourself to another side. Understanding that there can't be repercussions. You have to be very self-conscious about yourself and the things that you're feeling so that you don't end up with like attachments and things and negative things that can go on in your life. You have to be very prepared. This is not something where I feel like you can just grab a recorder, go out and be a ghost hunter and not have repercussions come to you. There's a lot of preparation that goes into this field as far as mentally and everything else to keeping yourself from harm. So that is, you know, one of the big things I've tried to teach, looking out for, well, just simple things like, when you're doing your voice recorder recordings, don't whisper. So that way someone later thinks that you called an EVP. It's so many just different little pieces of knowledge that I'm trying. And I'm even learning. I was out of it for 11 years. The field somewhat changed, but it somewhat is still the same. Mm-hmm. That's the crazy. I said the other day, I come back in and I look at all this equipment and I was like, it's the same technology we was working on.
Sure.
It just looks, it's in a fancy package now.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. And then, and where there was once like three of us that did podcasts on the topic, now there's like 400. It still remains like only about three or four are good. But
well, and that's some of the stuff I watch. They're like very, and everything is demonic. I have worked a ton of cases. I have dealt with very few demonic cases.
Yeah.
They're instantly like, oh, it touched me, it's demonic, or I love the ones where they're sitting in a room and they say, move that flashlight, and then the flashlight moves and they scream and run out.
Sure.
I'm like, you asked it to do it and then it don't do it, and then you wonder why it don't talk to the next person.
Yeah.
There is a some people don't take it serious, but everyone who is in this field represents the field. Mm-hmm. Some of us don't like that certain people are representing the field because we're like, that's not professional. But you have to kind of respect that if you want to continue to see the field go on.
Sure.
And that's something I'm a humorous person. Like in my episodes, we all are, all four of us, you know, Cody, Christy, and Amanda and me are all humorous people. We like to, when we get a good, you know, when we're doing an interview and something funny comes up, we'll say it. You know, we try to have a good time, but be serious at the same time.
Sure.
But we wanted to, you know, speak about what we're thinking about, why we're thinking it. And, you know, one of the big representations is when you go into somebody's home, you can't just investigate it in an aggressive manner or something and leave the homeowner in a bad way. You have to think somebody's going to go back here tonight and needs to go to sleep and needs to not be bothered. I can't be upsetting everything here. So you have to try to make sure you know how you're handling this and read the situations correctly.
And that's so important with all of this, of understanding what you're dealing with and the power that it has. Did you have any sort of firsthand experiences that weren't so positive of attachments or maybe, you know, in younger years doing this, not realizing, you know, just what you are, you know, digging your hands into and kind of learned the hard way?
Yeah, I got choked in one of our early cases, as I kind of was like, okay, do whatever you're going to do. Like, I still didn't necessarily believe in everything. So mm-hmm. I kind of welcomed myself up, and these are all little things. Like, it just put its hand around my throat and I was like, oh, never again, never again.
Yeah.
You don't welcome that. You don't welcome that kind of thing. And attachment wise, we was in the Blair house. You familiar with the Blair house?
Yes.
We were the first team in the Blair house.
Okay.
We were the one who replied to the email there. So we go into Blair house. We come home. I'm doing a radio show about it. And I would never had activity in my house, mm-hmm. the house we were in at the time. And my bathroom panel goes flying across the room. And I'm telling you this. I could not believe it. I was stunned. I'm on the radio show talking to these people. And yeah. I go, my bathroom panel just flew across the room. It's like a 6-foot panel. And they're like, you're lying. They heard the crash, but yeah. they're obviously not there with me, but I dealt with a lot of negativity from that. The way it affected me in my life, it got me in a mood where I was not like myself. So I believe I've had that. I believe even recently I had a case where the homeowner was having a very negative effect from these spirits. It was really being aggressive with him. Mm-hmm. And I told it, I stand with him, and I ended up kind of getting a semi-attachment out of it. But the good news is he's in great shape now.
What do you do to protect yourself? And what do you teach others to protect themselves from running into an experience like that?
Well, I would have to go personal with myself and say, you're going to have to, for me, it's from a religious perspective. Mm-hmm. So I pray, I do my things from my religious perspective, and mentally I get my mindset in a almost game time mode. When I go in there, I'm like, okay, I got my shield up, but I'm also observing, but I'm also debunking. So I have to get in the right mental mindset. And then spiritually, whatever that is for you spiritually, I, you know, protect myself in that manner.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about that. Cause that I always find interesting where, you know, from a religious perspective, whatever the religion may be, you know, people will, you know, they'll do their prayers, they'll do a ritual or some sort of what they believe. But oftentimes this can be different belief systems, but seemingly they do work for, you know, various things. It's not like there's this one method and that's the only one that works. That to me is always interesting. Especially with as fragmented and as isolation bearing that religion can be, where it's like, this is the only way and that's the one way and that's it. How is that where, you know, one may have a Christian belief or one may have a belief over here, but they believe in this higher power to protect them? Is that something where everybody's like asking really essentially for the protection of the same thing, but everybody just kind of calls it something different?
Yeah, that's kind of been my theory for a long time. And it gets a lot of people upset with me from different beliefs, because they're like, no, there's no way we're interconnected. And I'm like, you know, I'm not saying that I know all the answers, because I certainly probably have less answers than I think I do. But to me, it's, you know, you got to believe in, you're putting your faith in a higher power, no matter what religion you're coming from.
Yeah.
And I have had the question in my head is, are we all praying to the same person? We just think it's different.
Well, yeah, because it gets very specific. You know, if you're doing like Catholicism or something, or you know, like when it comes to exorcisms, when it comes to that sort of thing, praying to saints or whatever it may be. And it seems like, well, like, wow, they like it really has to be done this way for it to work. But the more and more I learn about this, and the more people I talk to, it's like, no, it's just more so about having that belief or asking for help from the higher power, and everybody's going to call it something different. But it's like, if you have that trust and that faith, if you will, that seems to really be the trick more so than, you know, whatever this version is or that version is.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like if you meaning something versus just saying the words.
It's intention.
It's like I can recite something, but if it doesn't mean nothing to me, mm-hmm. you ain't going to feel the energy off of me saying it.
Sure.
So I think that's kind of in that realm where it's, I think the people who believe you can just repeat the same words, to me, it just don't work for me. If it works for you, great. Mm-hmm. But to me, you have to mean it inside yourself for it to matter. So I think it's a lot of that. It's the energy inside yourself that you're meaning what you're saying. It's, you know, if you will, that you feel what you're saying. You're not just speaking words. It's like, you know, just reading a book, but not that's me with my reading. When I read something, I don't fully comprehend it. So I just read the words. So I, you know, you're like, what did it say? I don't have a clue. I just read the words.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Mike McAllister. A big thank you to him for joining us and sharing his experiences on today's program. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. 5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use.
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.